exalted far above the earth and sky.
Now back at the right time. We are thankful to God be able to come together again for part two of our weekly encouragement. We ask your undivided attention on tonight as David Hughes brings forth our message on this evening. Thank you.
Let them praise the good Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to thank Brother Brown and the leadership for this opportunity once again to preach God's word. It's been a while since I've been up here, and a few things have been going on in my life, and well, I'll talk about that later. But let's get on to the lesson. I won't be long. My wife told me, don't be too long this evening. So I had to follow what the boss say. She's shaking her head, but I got the message. This evening, we're going to be talking about God's grace and mercy. God's grace and mercy. Now, it's always one of those things that we talk about, his grace and mercy that he has for us. But we can't talk about grace and mercy without talking about his love for us. He sent his son to die for us after all we done. We disobeyed him in the garden. We disobeyed him during Noah's time. And he had to wipe out the earth and send his family, Noah's family, to replenish the earth. During the Israelite, how many times did they disobey? They were God's chosen people, and he loved them more than any other person on this earth, and they still turned their back again. It reminds me of the United States of today. We want a king, and we said we want somebody from the outside to take over Washington, D.C., and see what we get. So just like Israel, they didn't want to follow God, they wanted the king. God said that king is going to enslave you, take all your money, take all your young women, and they're going to tax you into submission. And what do we have now? We want somebody from the outside. We don't want nobody. We want a businessman to run our country and see what we get. I read on the news today he's already trying to get somebody to spearhead his 2024 election, because he's going to try to override the two-term limit. So I'm like, what did we do as the United States? What did we do? But getting back to God's grace and mercy, we gotta listen to God. What mercy is, let's turn over to Ephesians 2, and this explains what mercy is, because a lot of us sometimes we don't realize God's mercy that he has on us. First his love, and then his mercy. 4-9. Ephesians 2:4-9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love within, for wherewith he loved us, when we were dead in sins, and have quickened us together with Christ, by grace we are saved. That's another word we got to remember, that grace. And has risen up together and made us all sit together in heavenly places in Jesus Christ, that in the age to come he might show us riches of grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is what? A gift of God. So there's nothing we can do about that gift. God said, I'm going to give them a gift. He gave us his son, and he said, I'm going to give you a grace. I'm going to give you a gift of salvation, and I'm going to give you grace, and I'm going to give you mercy. That grace we talk about so much is God loves us so much that he gave us grace. He desired us to be with him, not because of anything we have done to deserve it or to gain it. He gave us his grace generously, freely, and totally unexpected and undeserved. God gave that to us. First, he gave his son, who died on the cross for us. That was his love for us. Then he gave us grace. because he knew we was going to be wrong. Sometimes I hate to use this word, but sometimes we don't think God understands what human beings go through. He made us. He spoke us as this. He made us from the ground of earth, sent the Holy, put a spirit inside of us. And ever since he put that spirit inside of us, we've been going the wrong direction. God could have just said, okay, when Eve ate that apple, when Eve ate that fruit, he could have said, all right, Noah, Moses, I'm going to give you another. I'm sorry. Let me calm down a little bit. When Eve ate that fruit, God could have said, okay, Adam, I'm going to give you another wife. But what did Adam do? He took the fruit and ate it. And so they both sinned. And God said, okay, what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to send y'all someone to save y'all. And he sent his son, who was sitting on his right side of heaven. He's going to say, son, go down there because they need you. But he said, even beyond you, they're going to still need more help. So I'm going to send them grace and mercy too, and forgiveness of sin. Mercy is compassion or forbearance showing, especially from offense. Say like you offend somebody and they give you mercy. That means that they're forgiving you for what you did. Kind of forgiving treatment of someone who could be treated harshly. Somebody treats you real bad, you turn around and I forgive you. Instead of, how most of us do. Somebody hit us, we're going to go punching back hard. But see, God don't want us to be like that, because if he gave us mercy, he wants us to show mercy. This sermon, like I said, is not going to be long tonight. God's grace and mercy is given to us that we can forgive, that we can be forgiven of our sins. God knew that we would need help. Being Christians, so he sent his son first. His son taught us. He taught the 12 apostles, one straight, but there was another one that came and took his place, and they taught the world about Jesus and about his doctrine. But God knew as we lived on this earth, we was going to need more help. So he sent his grace and mercy. He also sent the Holy Spirit. See, God keeps sending stuff to us for us to use. He sent us, like I said, first he sent his son. Then he sent us grace and mercy. He sent his apostles. He sent us the Holy Ghost. He sent us all this that we can have the knowledge of him, because he loved us so much. He wants us to be baptized and someday return to heaven with him. Because our spirit initially came from God. And where is God? In heaven. So let me clarify, if I ask for somebody to come out to church and ask me about that. But God is in heaven, so our spirit was with him before he gave it to us. So for us to make it back to him, we have to live by his rules. But then again, God said, I know they're going to need some help. So in Philippians 2:12, what does it say about working out our own salvation? We have to do it in what? Fear and trembling. And that's the hard thing, because we only get one chance of getting this right. Because when you die, you don't have another chance. That's it. Brother Brown talks about it all the time. When we die, we're going to have judgment day coming. So before you get to that day, you want to work it out with fear and trembling. If you sin, God gives you an avenue, his son, who goes to him and begs for forgiveness. But you have to do something first. You have to ask and then turn away from that, what you're doing. Speaking out our mouths in James 3:10, it talks about our tongue. The tongue gets us in trouble all the time. Our tongue is always, I have a problem with that myself. I'll tell a little short story. I was at work one day, and this girl was walking out the door. I held the door for her. And she said, I still hold the door for you because you're more of a woman than me. And I said, okay. And so before I even could think, I said, that might be true, because I probably am more of a woman than you. And she turned and gave me the dirtiest look. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. But it slipped out. But I'm like, why would you say that if I'm holding the door for you? I was trying to be nice. But that slipped out. So I had to go to apologize to her because that wasn't right what I said. But that's how our tongue can get us in trouble. Your wife asks you to do something, you smart back at her. That happens to me sometimes too, as husbands. But sometimes, you know, at work, our boss might say something to us, and before we know it, we might say something, and then we have to go back and, you know, get that cleared up, or our coworkers. But God wants us to have a ruling tongue that's tamed. He doesn't want us out there trying to spread the gospel and then what the Bible says about cursing and blessing out of the same mouth. God don't like that. And that's why he sent us grace and mercy. If you did something against somebody, you always go and ask for grace and mercy. Ask for forgiveness, because that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be that Christian that can't forgive. Because some people, in 1952, you stepped on my foot, and I still got that corner on my foot from when you stepped on it. And now we're both in our 80s now, and you still mad at me because I stepped on your toe back in 1950. I wasn't born back then, but I'm just saying, people hold grudges like that. Now, when you get before God, but you want God to forgive you from all your stuff, but you won't forgive somebody or something minor. Grace and mercy. That's the problem. We need to have that grace and mercy. So what does it mean? Grace is when we receive something that we don't deserve. We don't deserve Jesus coming down here. We don't deserve God's grace. And then mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. A lot of us deserve more than what we ever got in our lives. I know certain situations in my life, I was like, man, if I were to drop dead right now, I know where I'm going, because I know I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing at that time. But God gave me that grace and mercy. I asked for forgiveness, and I got it cleared up. But in certain parts of our lives, we have to realize that if we're working out our soul salvation, it's going to be ups and downs in our lives. No person is going to leave this life unscathed. Everybody going to have problems. Or what did the Bible say about sin? All have sinned, not some. Some of us walk around here like we ain't never sinned a day in our life. Oh, well, you know, I'm such and such Christian. I never sin. I'm the perfect person. But then when you unfold that paper and look under their lives, you see where they have sinned, because if we don't sin, we're making God a lie. Now, I'm not saying you do it willfully, but we all have sinned. Picture this. Four people. You have an adulterer, a fornicator, a gay person, and a liar. All four have sinned. Now, they're members of the church. All of them have sinned. All has asked for forgiveness. Now, the first person reunites with his wife and work things out. The second one promises he's not going to ever do it again. He's not going to sleep around because he's not married. The gay person said, I'm living for Christ. I'm giving my whole life. I know I'm gay, but I'm not going to go out do that anymore. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm putting it down. And the last person said, I'm not going to ever lie again. A year later, all four of them have done something. And they come into church and ask for forgiveness. What are we to do? Forgive them. Because what God say about grace and mercy? We have to show grace and mercy. And the person who's a fornicator, adulterer, a gay person, or a liar, they sin. But God, if we read Romans 1, there's a law, there's a whole lot of sins that's listed there. Even down to the part where it says disobedient to parents. He even covers the kids. he covers everything in there. We can't look at sin as just one type of sin. Sin is sin in God's eyesight. Now, we put different levels of sin, but God said, no, all these people right here has my grace and mercy if they ask for it. I'm going to give it to them because they don't deserve it. They ask for forgiveness of sin, I'm going to work with them. That's why I sent my son, because Jesus said, I came into the world not to destroy it, but to save it. Amen. And that's what he came for. He came to save us. That's why his father has given us all these different avenues that we can have. And that's why I said a few months ago, it would be hard for a Christian to die and go to hell. Because God has given us so much. You would have to work on it. Because God has given you so much stuff. You have to be that unforgiving person who don't ask for forgiveness. Because God has said, I know you're going to sin. I'll send my son. I'm sending you grace and mercy. I'm giving you forgiveness of sin. And I also gave you part of the Holy Spirit to help guide you. I'm giving you all this. And then you're going to turn around and say, I'm not going to forgive somebody, or I don't want to ask for forgiveness. God is saying, you know, this is not right. I want you here with me. That's God's thing. He wants us all to come live with him. He don't want some of us. He wants us all. But we have to do the things what he asks us to do. God is so wonderful that God would do this for us, knowing how bad we are. Even when Paul asked about his infirmity, 3 times he asked God to take it away from him. But what did God say? My grace is sufficient. That's what God is telling us. My grace is sufficient. You don't have to. I'm giving you grace, and I'm also giving you. You don't even deserve my mercy. You killed my son. If God was a vengeful God like he did us and like he did the Israelites, how many of us would be in this room right now? A lot of us wouldn't be here right now if we were under the old law. But under the new law, grace and mercy came in. We don't have to stone our children anymore for talking back or being bad. We don't have to do the different things that he did under the old law. No blood sacrifices, thank God, because they did a lot of butchering back then. But that's what God wanted, and they had to follow his law. But now he changed it up and said, grace and mercy, a new law. My son has come. When he died, it separated us from the old law to the new law. So let's not take God's grace and his mercy for granted. If he told that to Paul, what is he telling us? The same thing. Sometimes we have to live with our infirmities, no matter what they are. Right now, like I told you, I was going to go over what's going on with me right now. My life has changed a whole lot in the last few months. I do have kidney disease, and I'm on dialysis right now. And so my life has changed. I'd like to thank my wife and my mother-in-law. They take care of me, make sure that everything is going right with me, my nurse. And they're doing a good job. One good news, I am on the transplant list. And so everything, I'm just waiting for a phone call. But see how I think God changes everything. I was carefree and could do anything I wanted to do and move and go places. But now I'm tied to a machine 4 days a week. God's letting me know, this infirmity that you got right now is tying you down, but still, it could be something worse. My wife had to tell me that. I was sitting there looking all sad one day. I said, man, why me? And she said, you know what? It could have been something else that's not curable. So you better be thank God that you have this instead of something else. So I looked at that and I got up and I said, yeah, that is true. I'm working every day. I come home and take care of that at night and going about my business. But God is good. Even when we're in trouble, God is good. So I just want to thank y'all for your prayers. And hopefully I get that phone call here pretty soon. And that's why, in closing, we have to put on that whole armor. Because like Nathan was talking about, the Rock'em Sock'em robots. I had one of those when I was a kid, and that brought fun memories, even though I didn't have a brother. So I would play on by myself because my sister didn't want to play. And so that brought back fond memories, but it's true what he's saying. None of us can fight the devil by ourselves. You got to have God on your side. And you got to put on that full armor. If you don't have that armor on and you walking around, God is telling us that you got to have it on. So if you don't have it on, the devil's going to whip you back and forth. What it says about the sheep, we're going to whip you back and forth. That's how the devil does us. And we don't even know it sometimes. We could be walking down the path that's un-God related. We think we're doing right. Oh, I'm doing so good. I'm going to church every Sunday. But that Monday through Friday is what's killing us. We think we just because we're doing the good on Sunday, but what about the rest of the week? If we unfold our own papers and look at it on Monday through Friday or Saturday, what are we doing throughout the week? So that's why we had to put that full armor on. Sometimes it comes from the outside, and sometimes it can even come from the inside. To look at most of the New Testament is written not to outside. When Paul was writing, he was writing to the church. And every church he wrote to had problems. None of them was perfect. And there's no such thing as a perfect church, because as long as who's in there, as long as people are in there, there's going to be some problems. But then we come back to God's grace and mercy. And God is so good, because he loved us so much that he gave us his son, number one, and then he gave us all this other stuff. So if you want to, I'm just telling you, if you want to go down there, like Brother Brown said, you can spell it real quick. If you want to go there, that's on you, because I don't want to go there. I don't like it when it's 100 degrees outside. So, church members, we have to remember that when we sin, we need to get it right quick and fast, because we don't know when our time is going to come. Don't let sin linger in your life. If you make a mistake, get up, dust yourself off, ask God to forgive you, and move on. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to wallow. Oh, I ain't no good to nobody. I'm going to go. I've seen people do this over the years. I'm going to leave the church, and when I get myself together, I'll be back. That's the wrong move. I'll go to them, that's the wrong move, because you can't get yourself together out there. Who's going to help you? God is in here waiting on you to come here or at your house or open your Bible and study. But if you go out there and don't fix your own problems, you don't have your armor on. And like Nathan said, on rock and sock and robots, before you even throw the first punch, you're going to be on your back. And the devil going to have you, and it might be years before you get your mind back enough to come back to the church. So don't go out there fooling with that stuff. My mom used to say, don't go mess with that stuff, boy. I'm like, what stuff, Mom? You know that stuff they be out there. I'm like, Mom, what are you talking about? You know they own that stuff. I'm like, okay, Mom, okay. So I'm like my mom said, don't go out there fooling with that stuff if you're a Christian. Because you know once you fool with it, what the Bible say, you look at it, it look good to your eye. Next thing you know, you want to go toward it. Next thing you know, it got you. And then you got to battle yourself back into the church. Because the devil, once he got you, he don't want to let go. He's going to do everything in your power. Your car going to have a flat on Sunday morning. Your phone ain't going to work. Your light's going to be out at home. Some excuse going to, the boss call you into work. He'll never called you in before. All this stuff is going to happen because the devil don't want you to go and get inspired at church. He wants you to stay home and wallow in your sins. Grace and mercy and forgiveness of sin, we have to use those. God gave it to us, let's use it. Don't ever let somebody tell you that God don't love you and God don't want you to come to heaven with him, because he does. So in closing, again, grace and mercy. I had a story to tell, but I'm not going to tell that story. I think I done talked a little bit too much. Did I talk too much, Yvonne? Okay, my wife gave me a nod, so... So if I don't come to church Tuesday night, you know what happened. If I come with a limp on Tuesday, you know what happened. Just remember, God loved us so much that he gave us his son, he gave us grace, he gave us mercy, he gave us the apostles who wrote the New Testament. God inspired that whole New Testament. Sometimes we forget that. This is actually words that came from God. And the apostles wrote it down. The men of the New Testament wrote it down. It's something that's not some man like Muhammad went up to the mountain and got this inspiration and wrote the Quran. That's not how this happened. God actually outpoured his breath into these guys and they wrote it down. Word for word what he wanted us to know. And if we don't believe that, then we're calling God a lie. Because God said, I did this. I wanted y'all to know who I was. I want y'all to know who my son was. Then he turned around and gave us the Holy Spirit. Then he turns around and he gives us grace and mercy. And he gives us ministers. He gives us teachers. He gives us all the things that we have in the New Testament church that they didn't have in the Old Testament. He gave us all of this because his simple fact is that he loved us. And there's no getting around it. God loves us and he don't want us to sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, who is his Son, Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christian and you sin or you need prayers, come down at this time and God will do two things if you're not a member of the church. Once you're added to the church, once you're baptized, he will add you to the church. He will send the Holy Spirit to you and he will forgive you of your sins. if you're a Christian and you have sin, and we talked about that tonight, God, grace, and mercy is right here waiting on you. But you have to act. You have to act. You don't deserve God's grace and mercy, but God said, if you come and ask for forgiveness, I will forgive you, and I will give you my grace and mercy. I will take that sin, and you won't hear about that sin from me anymore. But if you don't ask, you're going to be out there by yourself, and God will not forgive you of your sins. If you're asking for prayer, God wants you to come down here, ask your brothers and sisters if you have a sick family member or whatever is going on in your life, because we can't do it by ourselves. We need help. That's why the church is set up the way it is. We have brothers and sisters, which is our family. We go to our families when we're in trouble and ask them for help. And that's what the church is here. We will pray for you, and God will hear our prayers, and he will do what he wants to do. Now, we can't make God do anything. He does it. If you ask him for a new car, you might get that car in 2030. But if you ask him for health issues and all that, you might get it tomorrow, just depending on what God, or he might say, like he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. So as we stand and sing a song of invitation, I hope I spoke a message to y'all that will help you in your everyday Christian life.
Ooh, at my door be standing patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, who is the voice I hear? Sweetly the dawn's on falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Lonely without his staying, lonely within am I. While I am still delayed, I am condemned to die. Sweetly the tongues are falling, open the door.